Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind podcast. I am your host, Tim Lanning, and joining me is Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how are
you? You know, I'm good. You guys might notice that this episode is out late, but in our defense, two earthquakes and an eclipse happened.
Yeah.
So, like, and we were pretty busy pondering the majesty of the eclipse.
Yeah, yeah.
We did. So we did. So sincerely, though, we did go to where the eclipse was at. What is it called?
Totality.
In Missouri, where it was like totality for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
It was wild, you know, made me believe in Left Behind again. I'm a Christian now. And
well, we were all just laughing. I mean, I think everyone has like kind of talked about this, like back in the day, if this happened and you didn't know it was going to happen, I would be like, yes, like we,
of course,
God is coming back.
Yeah.
Cause I cannot describe how crazy it looked.
Right.
So it was just a very apocalyptic weekend last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the QAnon girlies were expecting more to happen regarding
weird.
The apocalypse
Nothing
and things
happened.
Like that. But, you know, we would have been there on the streets day one, covering the rapture.
Absolutely. But we would have been keeping you up to date on what was going on and the latest rapture news.
Yeah.
But instead we did get caught in 5 hours of traffic on the way home.
That sucks so bad.
So it didn't get off to a good start post-eclipse.
We also got the flu. So that's really what.
That actually is the main reason this goes. Yeah. Tim and I both got the damn flu. Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah. And I wanted to get to these chapters real bad.
Oh my God.
We're so close to the end of the book.
We're so close to the end. And I read these earlier this week thinking that maybe we wouldn't be busy and we'd have time to this. So this is like, usually I do the notes and then like pretty immediately talk about the episode. So now I'm like, oh shit, I've forgotten all about this. So it's gonna be funny.
It's all steepled and pickled in your brain.
It is, absolutely.
Only the most aged takes on your end.
Yeah, so but it was killing me to not talk about this. Once I read these chapters, I'm like, oh my God, I've got to talk about this shit.
Pretty wild. Like kind of like low key, but also insane chapters. Love it.
Like chapters that just like, again, reveal some really crazy opinions about the world in several different ways.
So this week we'll be covering Nikolai, obviously, chapter 16 and 17. And let's get into chapter 16.
So we're picking up right at the end of Bruce's memorial service.
Which I kind of forgot about.
Me too.
I was like, damn.
Wait, we're still there?
It's still happening? Goddamn, this is depressing.
Okay. Yeah, so Buck and Chloe are trying to leave, but while they're trying to leave, guess who interrupts them?
No.
It's Verna Z.
The dreaded Verna Z.
Oh my God. I just remembered another. Like, I wasn't even, when I was talking about how insane these episodes were going to be, I actually forgot about a thing until right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to get there.
Yeah.
So Verna's like, hey, bitches, I recognized who was with Loretta.
Yeah.
That's Zion Bejuda. Oh, shit.
Right. Maybe you shouldn't take in, like, a wanted criminal. I mean, he's not, but, you know, that's what he is. He didn't do it.
Yeah, but, he didn't do it, but he's being looked for as if he is the criminal.
A person of extreme interest, one might say.
Yes.
It is funny, like, later in the chapter, they talk about it, and it's like, yeah, that was so dumb.
Like, why do we do that? Yeah, that was fucking
stupid. Who is
stupid
enough to do this?
Yeah, they use their own stupidity to gaslight.
Take
and that was cool.
Yeah, there's a handful of I would say lazy things that happen later on, but hey, we'll get there. I love it.
Yeah, getting a little ahead of yourself. So Verna points out to Buck that it's like, hey, you're actually in just as much trouble as Zion and Judith is because obviously you helped him escape.
Right.
And she also, to be fair, she's like, you know, well, she says, Steve Plank's been trying to get a hold of you, and I'm tired of pretending I have no idea what you're up to. I mean, kind of fair enough. Like, you should not have allowed her to stay in Loretta's house.
Everything.
This is such an amateur mistake.
Oh, yeah. It's such a wild and weird thing because it's like, it only keeps getting worse, right? Like, him being a Christian, him being connected with Rayford, sure. But, like, bro, you have Zion Ben Judah with you.
Yes. Again, people, and like he's on the news, man. Like, yeah. Maybe like not quite as much in America, mm-hmm. but like people who are in the know are gonna know, like people right. who are paying attention.
Right.
Will and be like, hmm.
And on top of that, your goddarn credentials were found, or yes, like your IDs.
That's
and stuff.
Crazy. I still like can't believe that they should have burned them. Why did they not just burn them? And be like, yeah, they got lost.
I got no fucking idea, man.
Bush League mistakes. You guys, you're gonna have to pick it up.
Yeah,
or you're gonna be executed.
Yeah, if you guys are alive, do better.
Do better. Come on. So Buck is like, hey, well, you know, let's not talk about this in the parking lot at church. Why don't we go meet at the Global Weekly
Stop
offices?
Stop yelling the T word so loud.
Yeah. So he gets her to kind of stop talking. About it. Actually, you know what? Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, Verna's like, do all these people at the church really believe that Nikolai Carpathia is the Antichrist? and I feel like Book doesn't really want to answer. Like, I feel like he kind of gets around, like, being like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of how we joke about, like, their way of not lying is like, what do you think? What do you think I think?
Right, just ask questions.
Yeah. And
I mean, it kind of works.
It kind of works. It definitely works. But, yeah, man. Nikolai's the Antichrist. Sorry, Verna, we love you. You don't do anything wrong, but maybe get with it.
Yeah. So Verna's like, listen, Buck, if you don't fucking let me get an interview with Zion Ben Judah, I'm gonna tell on you. And Buck's like, what the hell?
What the hell?
Like, bro, I let you stay in my friend's house.
Right.
What the fuck? Loretta says back to him, you sure did, and you may regret it for the rest of your life. Now, Vernon, you're kind of overplaying your hand here.
Yeah.
You should have done this.
It's, this happens in Naruto sometimes, where they, like, save up a lot of energy to make Sakura not annoying.
Yeah.
And then, oops, we're so tired.
Like, oops, all annoying.
Here, she's annoying again. She fails. She's useless. I feel like that's what they did with Verna Z. Is like, mm-hmm. she's a human for, like, half a chapter, and now she's back to screeching, like,
yes.
liberal female.
Like, yeah, if this were written in current day, she had blue hair.
Yeah, she had blue hair and pronouns.
And she would have blue hair and pronouns. Which, like, I mean,
we'll save it for
we're
you,
gonna
folks.
Get into
there's a pretty sick reveal.
So Buck finally relents. He's like, fine. Well, because she was like pressure. He was like, why don't we like meet on Monday? And she's
right.
like, no, today.
Yeah, she wanted to go right then. It's like, bro, we have nine more hours of funeral.
We gotta go look at this dead guy some more. Like, come on. So he gives her an agree. They're gonna meet at the Global Community office at 6:30.
Yeah.
Then later in the afternoon, they head back to the – because this is the thing. So they had the memorial service in the
right.
morning, and they had to have a second part of the day for the viewing because
right.
there were just so many fucking
right.
people. So they go back to the church for the viewing, and they sneak in the back way, which, you know, that's cute. And we know that Zion disappears down to the bunker at
yeah,
this point.
He becomes a bunker boy.
The number one, the first bunker boy. Yay.
Let's go. Everyone's like, where's Zion? And Buck's like, he's around. He's whatever. Don't worry
I would
about
be
it.
Like, who's that?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, why is Buck being all what,
Buck was being weird
it?
To Chloe about it.
Oh, he's such a freak. I hate his ass.
Yeah, they end this one of his sections with him just being like coy at her, and it. I need to get an interview with Chloe. And like, girl, how often do you roll your eyes at your husband?
Yeah,
and she's like, I'm not gonna badmouth him. I'm like, here, take three glasses of white Zinfandel. You friggin' roll your eyes at this
Oh,
guy.
I gotta roll my eyes at him all
oh
the
God,
time,
so
every
bad.
Second of the day.
Did you ever see my dialogue? It sucks in here.
It's so bad. They wrote me so bad, guys. Please, please rescue me.
Please kill me.
Rayford is shaking everyone's hands at the viewing. Like, he's the guy, like, they're treating him as if he's Bruce's family. Normally what the deal is, like, when you go to the viewing, is like the family is up there?
Well, I mean, yeah.
I guess he doesn't have any family.
He doesn't have any family.
He doesn't have any fucking family. Because
of the rapture.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ray did the speech, talking, so it makes sense.
Kind of pretty gay, or if we're just saying. Like, this is my dead husband.
This is my dead husband.
Because it's like, because I don't... It's Amanda's not out there with him, it's just Rayford.
Right, because he did
right?
He did the sermon, you know?
I guess that's true. So he's, as he's shaking hands with everyone, he's dissociating and thinking about other stuff.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to kill myself if I don't, like, dissociate a little bit. Let me think about stuff.
Let me think about my schedule and things I need to do.
Yeah.
Because he has been informed that he has got to go pick up the Super Pope, Pontifex Maximus Peter Matthews, and bring him to New Babylon.
Yeah.
And he has a little thought. Can you read this little section?
Carpathia had made noises about headquartering Matthews in One World Faith in New Babylon, along with almost every other international organization. Most interesting to Rayford was Carpathia's insistence on taking over leadership of several of the groups and committees that had been headed by his old friend and financial angel, Jonathan Stonegall.
Oh, baby. He's doing Antichrist stuff.
Oh, no.
He's consolidating power and money.
Oh, no. Yeah, Johnny's dead because in my opinion, he killed himself.
He killed it. I mean, like, listen, we saw it and he killed himself.
So old Nicky has to step in and help out, even if he shouldn't.
Yeah, he's always so giving and, like, generous with his time and energy.
He didn't even want to be on these committees, even though he forced you to put him on
there. Even though he's a lowly Romanian politician. Yeah.
my life a movie.
My life a movie, damn, I'm the Antichrist. So Rayford's just thinking about all this and is like, oh, I fucking hate this. Yeah. It sucks. I hate working for the Antichrist. Yeah. But then he has a moment where he's like, now, Rayford, remember, you're doing this because God has put you here to do it.
Yep.
So you shut up.
Yeah.
Stop with the complaining. I know you work for the Antichrist and you hate that because you're a Christian.
And every, like, other paragraph between Ray and Buck, like, and besides, I won't be doing it forever because the shoe eventually is going to drop and we're going to have to hide away, you know, food and supplies and stuff like that.
Like,
so
at this point, they've only got, like, what, like 5.5 years left at the worst. Mm-hmm. And at the best, maybe they'll die tomorrow.
Yeah, and they'll have to live in a hole pretty soon, all things considered.
Yeah, they're going to that hole for sure. Back to Buck. He's playing some phone tag with Verna Z about picking up his checkbooks. Guys, remember the past when you had to get a paper check, a paper paycheck?
That's wild.
Yeah, we don't have to do that anymore.
I remember, like,
I'm really glad.
Yeah, I remember, like, when direct deposit was, like, special.
Yes.
I used to have, like, cash all my checks at the damn Publix. It was so annoying.
This sucks.
Can't around my fat stacks of iParty and Circuit City money. People trying to rob me, take my $89.
Like, oh, that guy works at Circuit City. I gotta take his cash. Yeah, I definitely remember getting my Banana Republic outlet checks. Like, I don't know. So this part is actually great because it brings up a fun conspiracy theory person thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing he had seen in Bruce's printouts, and which had been corroborated by Zion, was that he needed to start investing in gold.
Let's go. Yeah.
Gold! Only gold! So paper money! And I guess the thought behind this is because they're going to be switching to the Mark of the Beast, and it's like, but then, like, why isn't everything Mark of the Beast? Why is gold allowed? And not paper money?
Gold would still have value, and they wouldn't be able to get more paper money. So
this is not going to be printed.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And, like, I think the idea is the Mark of the Beast, like, you have to have it to spend money.
Yeah.
So they have to find something to, I see where you're coming from, right?
Like, they're still not going to be able to spend money.
But I think, you know, I think what they're taking it as is, like, it's going to be all digital. But, like, the Bible doesn't fucking say that.
No, it doesn't. Like, I think they're, again, and we talked about this in previous episodes. I think it's really funny that in Left Behind, they're obviously very wary and scared of, like, all digital banking shit.
Yeah.
But now these same, like, conspiracy theory people are like, we love crypto, actually.
Yeah. Well, because, like, they're sheep and they're stupid.
they get tricked pretty easy.
But
the people who, like, buy up stocks of gold in, like, Iraqi dinar.
Right. Because, like, I know this is, you know, this is, like, silly thing to say as well, right? It's like, is gold going to be valuable?
Right, but, like, yeah, all of this is just supposed to be choose it to be valuable. Yeah. Like, gold is equally
valuable. But then I was like, gold is valuable, you know, like, it is because it is, right?
I guess.
It's more valuable than paper money.
Yeah, that's very is definitely more valuable than paper money.
It's consistent, friends.
But like, why is it gold and not diamonds?
Yeah, I mean, I guess or it's like, easier to trick old people out of gold than diamonds. I think.
I wonder why.
I guess there's just more gold. And it's easier to trade, and it looks like doubloons sometimes.
I mean, it looks cool as hell. We can all agree with that. And like being like here, opening up a big chest, and like all your bars of golden are in there. We just watched Pirates of the Caribbean 4 last night, for content reasons. Yeah. For
shout out Naruto Review.
Shout out Naruto
Patreon.
Review.
Google it.
And I feel like they would be very into having a big chest of gold bars. And
I think,
such.
I think an issue is that like, and this might not even be true in our real world either, but like. Gold takes up more space. Diamonds, you have stuff so many. You can't fill a goddamn chest with diamonds. I mean, if you did, it'd be worth so much money.
So
but
you're saying that
you
it's because like they won't look cool enough.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a little container.
Right. It's like, oh, do you want $1 million and a like a here's one diamond. You know, how much are diamonds worth? I don't know. But like gold, although gold is like really heavy.
Gold is very heavy.
You know what I'm saying? It like
it's cool.
It
I get,
makes sense
I get
to your
that,
brain.
But I just think it's funny. Like
and diamonds are for girls.
Diamonds are for girls. Diamonds are for bitches. Gold is for boys.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say. I remember back when I used to have to go into an office and go, you know, go up the elevator, and they had the like ads in the TV in the elevator. There was a diamond ad that was like real is rare, and I remember like do you guys understand this is like not? I don't think this works on people anymore. Like, why do I give a fuck if it's rare?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I think it works on some people, but like,
it doesn't work.
It's just that. The synthetic diamonds look so good now.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
so.
Why would you, like, want that?
Yeah,
but
know.
Anyway, I just, it's like, when you start to think about, like, the value of money and things, it's like, oh, it's, everything's fake.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the idea of, like, you have to go underground and hoard gold, you're absolutely right. It's such a conspiracy theory thing,
I
right?
just know that fucking Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins absolutely have bars of gold somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if Tim LaHaye didn't sell, like, a bucket of, like,
oh my God.
Survival stuff
yes.
of, like, it gets, you know, here's where you can keep your gold. Here's
I'm going to have to do a deep dive onto the last years of his life for sure at some point. Because I don't know what he was really getting up to there at the end, but I'm sure it was shady.
Yeah, we should start selling, like, Rapture survival buckets.
Yeah. It's put a phone in there. Mm-hmm. But
his is a comic. Put the bathroom reader because you can have a lot of free time.
Yeah, in the jokes.
Yeah,
so
the
you
jokes.
Can learn them.
Yeah.
We have a book on how to draw horses. That'd probably be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
The Rapture.
Yeah, because you keep that's a valuable skill.
Yeah, exactly. So now the Tribulation Force crew and Loretta, who's not part of the Tribulation Force crew, and we've said.
Yes, she's Tribulation Force and Loretta.
And Loretta, she's not allowed to join, are going to do one last private viewing of Bruce, now that everyone else has left the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Loretta picks up on the fact that no one will tell her, like, no one's saying where Zion is. And
right.
She's like, what the fuck, man? Like, why are you not telling me?
Yeah, it's like... you're all staying at my fucking house.
Yeah.
And
am I just your landlady?
Yeah. And I like did a cover for Verna Z shit. Like, come on, bro. I deserve to be in this book more.
Yeah. I agree, Loretta, but maybe for the best because they would butcher you and they already do butcher you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they know how to write Southern accents very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically she's like, can you just at least say that you're not telling me this, not because you think I'm going to just go tell everybody.
Right.
Like that you think that I'm a fucking blabbermouth. And in fact, Rayford's like, no, we're actually worried you might get like captured and tortured.
Right.
Actually, Tim, can you please read what Rayford specifically says?
The fact is, the people who might ask you about Zion and Ben-Judah's whereabouts wouldn't hesitate to use a lie detector or even a truth serum if they thought you knew.
Rayford thinks he's MK Ultra here. And also, lie detectors are also not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they just measure how stressed out you are pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird that he said lie detector and truth serum when it's like, they're going to hang you up by your fucking thumbs.
Yeah, they're going to torture you.
Yeah.
I think would be I mean, that's not actually super a good way to get stuff either, because people just say things to get you to stop.
I know.
Turns out there's no real good way to make people tell you something
right.
if they don't want to, really.
But you might as well have fun with it.
You might as well pull the fingernails out,
I
guess.
Exactly. I mean, he implies that earlier, but the fact that he's like, hey, bro, it has nothing to do with us not trusting you. It's just, bro, they might hook you up to a machine that makes you tell it say shit.
And it is the thing, is like, listen, for your own safety, we're just going to make sure you just don't know. Yeah. So there's nothing to tell.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we got to keep our – they got to keep their OPSEC, right. You know?
And
their InfoSec.
She was – yeah, both, I think. She was so pissed about it. But,
yeah. But
you know,
she understood
like,
it more.
Yeah, he, like, gave her a big hug. He was like, bro, you're the best.
We love you.
That being said, I don't want you to get – fucking executed.
Yeah.
When they're trying to find my boy.
Now, why don't you go back to the house and bake us some cookies?
Yeah, why don't you get out of here?
So.
You Southern Belle.
Yeah. We have a section here where Buck is looking at Bruce's corpse and he's like, nope, I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
I'm not sad anymore.
I was like, Jennifer must be reading this and being like, exactly.
No, it did make sense though, because like, I already got my emotions right. out about this. And right. like, again, in this reality where you know you are going to be reunited, like after yeah. the initial, you can kind of just be like, the body is not the problem. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And if he didn't like have an extremely emotional handful of days, right?
Yes.
Like, the man died during World War III?
Yes, he did. So Buck and Chloe head over together to the Global Community Weekly office to confront Verna. And Verna is not happy that Chloe is there.
This fucking section is wild.
It is a lot.
It's insane.
Because it's both awful, but it does have Chloe gaslighting in a
yes.
way that I love to see,
yes.
and I do support
yes.
her in gaslighting. So it's a really tough one for me to call here.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a we're writing her bad parentheses like positive, right?
Yeah,
like, complimentary because. Yeah. At from the very beginning, Loretta gives her like a stink face and is like, you need someone to hold your hand during it. And Chloe's like, shut the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, no, she's Chloe is, and also, let's remember, Chloe's like 21 years
something
old
like that,
now.
Yeah.
Like, she's not young. She's
yeah.
not like.
Maybe 22. Or
yeah,
like
yeah. So regardless, like, pretty young lady.
Yeah.
And yeah, so. Verna starts, isn't she like sitting at like the head
yeah.
of like a big conference
yeah.
room?
Yeah.
Like conference table. And she's like, Buck, we both know I hold all the cards now, don't we? Like, damn, she's trying to big dog him right out the gate.
Going
as she
hard.
Should.
Yeah.
As she should.
It's a, you know, she knows what she's doing.
Given what she knows at this moment,
right.
She absolutely does have something over Buck's. I mean, they were stressed about it. Like,
yeah.
She genuinely does have something over his
Buck's
head.
Buck's gonna get killed.
Be so sick. Chloe then tries to be like, Verna, but I thought we were, like, having real conversations.
Right.
And I, and that part of it, this feels genuine from Chloe. She's like, what the hell? Like, I
yeah.
thought we were, like, having a real...
She's like...
You know, we were connecting with
each
other.
Was that all fake? And she's like, no, bro. But, like, Verna is basically like, I sort of regret my weakness of having emotions.
Right.
And shit like that.
Yeah.
While still being like, yeah, it was nice to talk to you, and you
relatable.
Were really great for me, whatever, during the fucking apocalypse. And she says something like... When Chloe's like, was that meaningless? He's like, well, you giving me a sick car kind of rocked.
Yeah, but also it was the least you could do.
It was the least you could do because you blew mine up.
I mean, he did. Is she wrong? Is she wrong? Where's the lie?
Where's the lie?
He did get her car exploded.
Yeah.
So Verna seeks to kind of clarify what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, we're not talking about personality conflicts. The fact is, Buck, you're not loyal to your employer. You're a wolf in sheep's clothing. You're a spy. You're the enemy. You not only don't like the man, you also think he's the Antichrist himself.
Damn.
Well, he is.
He is.
Oh my god, I forgot about this part. Chloe brings up, so I guess Verna has been standing
at
this point.
She got heated and she stood up
she
and puts
heat.
Her hands on her hips.
Yeah. And Chloe basically is like, we all know this intimidation trick. Like, it's not working.
Right.
You need to sit down.
Whatever
like,
stupid NBA-esque book you read about how to throw us off, it's not working.
Okay, the thing that sucks is that shit really, people really do think that
yeah.
because I had to take, oh my god, now I'm getting mad because I'm remembering this. We jokingly call woman training mm-hmm. at my last job where it was like, how do we help the women in the workplace? And, you know, and like literally the lady who's doing the training like made us like stand and do like a power stance thing. And we were all just like, we actually just need to like not be disrespected by our male colleagues and like not be overworked. And they're like, ooh, but have you tried standing different?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, have you tried like talking it out? Like, this is so fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's bad.
Anyway, so yeah, so Chloe calls her out on that, and I guess it is what she was trying to do because she like sits down,
like a huff.
Yeah, like,
and
fine.
I mean, that's how Chloe it goes on the offensive here is basically just to make fun of her and gaslight her. Yes. And it's so funny.
Yeah. So actually, Tim, I'll let you get a little reading chunk in here.
Okay.
Because I just think, like, the actual conversation is so funny that it's worth capturing.
You're right. Because Verna's like, bro, that was absolutely Ben Judah. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
This is, it, like, and I like how she did say this isn't a personality conflict. Like, it kind of makes sense.
It does make sense. She's actually very valid. Right. Like, dude, like, you are doing bad things to our boss.
Yeah.
And I know it, and I'm going to get in trouble if they find out I knew and didn't do anything about
it. And tattling to your boss is a bitch move, but it's also like, well, he's the Antichrist and he owns everything. And
yeah.
Like she said, she's legitimately scared for herself, which she should be.
She should be. So this is Chloe spelling out to Verna Z, like, back at her.
Right.
What she thinks Verna Z is trying to say.
So Ben Judah escapes from Israel, apparently with Buck's help. Buck is brilliant enough to leave his official papers with some enemy of the state. When Buck gets Ben Judah safely into North America, he brings him out in the public at his own church, and then Ben Judah stands and speaks in front of hundreds of people. This is your thought? Verna was sputtering. Well, if it wasn't Ben Judah, who was it? And then Chloe says, this is your story, Verna.
I was like, damn. She got her ass. Like, she gaslit her so
fucking hard.
So beautifully, succinctly. Yeah. Made her look a fool. And hilarious, because she did not lie.
She did not lie.
She literally just said what happened.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't that sound crazy?
Yeah.
You sound crazy for saying
Verna, you're literally crazy.
You're literally crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you in the nut house.
Right. So Chloe just basically lays out how stupid all of this is by saying what exactly happened.
Yeah.
Buck, you dumb.
So then Chloe and Buck get Verna to call Loretta. So this is where, like, they're like, okay, Buck, I think it's Buck. Well, I guess it has to be Buck because Chloe doesn't have a viewpoint in these books. Buck is thinking, oh, I know how we can show Verna that we really do trust her. We'll just have Verna call her and see what she said, which, like, maybe you might want to warn someone ahead of time.
Yeah, because I think it was actually Verna that was like, I'll just call.
Oh, Laura. And they were just like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
and he's like, shit, fuck. But fine. Okay, we got to test. Loretta said she wants to be let in more. So Verna was like, oh, this nice old lady, she'll tell me who is, like, sitting with her. Because the whole thing was like, bro, I saw Ben Judah. He was with Loretta. Like, oh, you could see from where you were.
Yeah, again, they're just, like, doing everything. Like, it felt like Verna was someone who, like, came into the police station, and, like, Buck and Chloe are the two, like, gaslighting cops.
Yeah.
They're being like, is that really what happened?
Right.
And making the people second guess themselves. Like, well, maybe it didn't. So Verna calls.
And she's like, well, I'll just call Verna.
Yeah.
I'll just call Laura. Can you give me her number?
That was really funny. Yeah, Tim, you're going to have to help me with these little details like this, since it's been like 6 days since I've read this now.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
That was really good, because Buck's like, oh, fuck it. I don't know, man. This will be a good way to test it out. So.
Yeah. So Verna does call her, and the thing is, I feel like Verna could have just made up a story, but I guess that they can't lie. Is that what the issue?
Verna does lie. Verna does
you
lie.
You mean Loretta? Loretta does lie. So I don't understand why she doesn't make up a better lie.
So yeah, when she starts off,
she becomes kind of shady.
Yeah, she's like, I don't think that's any of your damn business.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you who was with me. Da, 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 da. And then Verna was getting frustrated at Loretta, and then Loretta goes, "You want the honest truth, Verna? That man is my secret lover. I keep him under the bed."
Like, what? Okay, Loretta, go off, girl.
I guess you can joke, but I do like that they don't lie, but this is a lie.
Well, this is like a blatant lie.
Yeah.
Although, no, because I was about to say, well, technically the bunker, like, if it was in her house.
Right.
And in the basement, that could be under her bed.
I see.
But
definitely not secret lover.
Not secret lover, though.
She loves him.
Well, she loves him as a brother, a brother in Christ.
Okay, nice. Okay, all right, Loretta.
But the thing is,
the church is the home of the Lord,
and that's where we go. And the bed,
boom, baby.
I don't know. It's. I think we agree. It's a lie.
Yeah.
So finally, Verna has had enough of it, and she just hangs up on Loretta, and she's like, all right, so you've all gotten together and decided not to tell the truth.
Right.
So she still, like, knows. Like, yeah. They're gaslighting her, like, enough that she's got, like, some doubt now, and it's putting her on the back foot. Like,
yeah.
She's not in charge of the situation anymore.
Yeah, I wish they would have done, like, oh, so you think all people from the Middle East look alike? Oh, that's interesting.
See, that didn't even occur to them, because... Yeah. The people who wrote this book also think that. Exactly. They think that for real. So Buck now is like, now it's my time. Let us bring the conversation to prophecies to see if I can witness the Verna one last time and see if it works.
Right, because there's like, well, she stayed the whole goddamn time. So there must be something going on there where she's like listening. She's open.
Right, like at least like subconsciously maybe, right. You know. But... Verna makes a point that I would make too. Is like, she's like, these just kind of sound like Nostradamus, man. Like, she literally says, can't these prophecies be read into? No. Can't they mean anything you want them to mean?
No.
And then, I don't know how you could believe that, Chloe said. You're smarter than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish you guys could see the face I'm like,
I don't know. Chloe is both the good cop and the bad cop throughout this whole thing, which is really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like she's basically saying to Verna, like, she's trying to be like, you're not – Verna did connect and see that it was Ben Judah.
Yeah.
And she's trying to be like, you're dumb. You didn't see that.
You couldn't
see
it. But
now she's like,
balcony.
No, you're smarter than that. Right. Like, oh, you're going to be all
fucked
up.
But also that implication is if you don't believe it, you're stupid.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I do think that the actual rapture happened in this world. So yeah. I do kind of like – I mean, it is – kind of have to just like lean pretty hard and ignoring it. But I mean, that's probably a normal thing, right? It's like, oh, you really believe God exists? You really believe they just disappeared and it wasn't
whatever, right? Yeah,
nuclear radiation that yada yada yada. It took every baby,
every baby and toddler.
Yeah,
none of them left. They're all evil though. Now into hell. So Verna kind of is like, okay, like, I kind of see your point, but I still don't really like that you are, like, basically lying to Carpathia. Yeah, like, right. You're not being truthful and being honest about your viewpoints on the world.
Right.
And then we get one of the craziest conversations. I think we just, like, have to read this. Maybe I will be Verna and you will be Buck.
Okay. Our private lives, our beliefs, are none of our employer's business, Buck said. For instance, if I knew you were a lesbian, I wouldn't feel it necessary to tell your superiors.
Verna whirled to face him. Who told you that? What business is that of yours? You tell anybody that and I'll...
Buck raised both hands. Verna, your personal life is confidential with me. You don't have to worry that I'll ever say anything to anybody about that.
There's nothing to tell!
My point exactly. Buck clocked somehow that Verna was a lesbian.
Well, obviously, Tim, because she's a shrill woman.
That's true.
All shrill women are obviously lesbians. Yeah. And I think they did bring up her having short hair before.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
He nailed it exactly.
We, like, okay, you guys, just to, like, make sure you understand, this woman is a villain. Mm-hmm. And how you know that even more is because she's an evil lesbian.
Yeah.
Real cool.
Cool.
So they walk out of the parking lot, and Verna's like, so we're agreed? Buck's like, huh? Agreed? That neither of us is going to say anything about the other's personal life. Like, it is like 1995 or 6 when this book comes out.
Yeah.
I know it was not, like, super friendly to gay people in the 90s. Like, obviously, it was not. But would someone be fired? Like, would someone get in trouble at a newspaper for being gay in the 90s? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean,
I am very much of the belief that I think a lot of, especially younger people now, do not understand how bad homophobia was in the 90s and like early 2000s. But I just feel like it doesn't make sense in this situation because like if anywhere was going to not care about it in this world, it's going to be like the liberal news. You know? So I thought that was kind of weird that she's so stressed about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably.
When did Ellen come out? When did Ellen come out? Hold on. Ellen, but for real, I'm going to look it up.
Our damn friggin' savior, Ellen. I mean, I'm sure she's just like afraid of not getting promotions, seeing different, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I mean, like, of course. Like, sorry, I'm searching. When did Ellen come out?
It's important.
It doesn't. Google doesn't want me to ask this question. It seems to just. 1997. So yeah. So like, it was a big deal.
Right.
But I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting. Oh my gosh. I wonder if there's anything going to be anything inspired by that.
Oh boy.
In any of these books.
Yeah. And part of my brain too is like, the world is getting so quote unquote worldly, but that hasn't super happened yet, right? Like, Carpathia is not out there being like, okay, everyone should gamble and smoke cigarettes and stuff like that.
That's true. So anyway, I just thought it, but I think what it does reveal.
Yeah.
Is that to the writers of this book, being a lesbian is like one of the most shameful things you could be, and that she would obviously be ashamed of it and not want anyone to know.
Right, and that's what the book wants. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm just pointing out that I'm like, I don't think a newspaper would actually care that much, but obviously the authors of this book series do think it is evil and bad to be a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So we do a very quick cut to Rayford, who in reading Bruce's notes. Found some nice stuff about Loretta, and he has her read it, and she's like crying and like, thank you for showing this to me.
It's like the authors needed to give Loretta like a nice gift after being mean to her. So,
I guess.
You know, hey, also, it probably assumes that there's lots of nice things Bruce wrote about all of them.
Probably true.
Which is nice.
Now we go back to the homophobes, Buck and Chloe. Tim, let's just read this little conversation, and I'll be Chloe in this. I'll be the girl. Buck, I had no idea Verna was a lesbian, Chloe said.
You had no idea? Neither did I.
You're kidding.
I'm not. You think that little revelation was of God, too?
I'd sooner think it was a wild coincidence, but you never know. That tidbit may have saved your life.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God, even she's a lesbian?
Fucking nailed it. That lesbian saved your life. Maybe you should be... a little more open-minded, Buck.
No, I think it's more like you being able to hang this over – the ability to out this person over their head may have saved your life.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Mutually assured destruction. Like, well, you like girls, whereas I think my boss is the literal devil.
My boss is the Antichrist.
Radical.
Normal world.
But, hey, we get some more diversity in these books.
Oh,
we love it.
Oh, my God.
Chapter 17.
So we have a little skip forward in time here, guys. It's a week and a half later.
Right, because remember, like, this has been, like, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, it was, like, the first, like, the great majority of this book is within just, like, a few days of each other, which is crazy. So remember how Rayford was thinking about how he has to go fly the Pope to New Babylon? Well, it's about to happen. He gets a call from our new favorite guy, Leon Fortunato.
I love that guy.
Oh, my God. And I do, again... It's so funny how much more likable Rayford is than Buck, like, in so many ways, because I do like that Rayford just being, like, a bitch to Fortunato and just, like, being, like, deliberately unhelpful when he tries to, like, ask him stuff. Because Fortunato's calling to be like, where the fuck is Hattie? We cannot get in touch with
her. He says, where's the Potentate's woman?
the Potentate's woman! Now, oh my God, that sounds like the name of a romance novel my mom would have read back. The Potentate's woman.
The Pope's exorcist, big energy, the same, but romance style. And Ray hates Fortunato because Fortunato sucks. But like you said, Ray has fun fucking with him.
Yeah, he just is like, I don't feel like I should tell you anything about where she is without her permission.
And he's like, also, I don't know where she is, so I don't feel comfortable speculating without, you know, her and it telling me that. And she didn't tell you for a reason, bitch.
Yeah. So that's sick. I love Rayford for doing that. Yeah. Rayford just like being like, I'm just going to make Leon Fortunato's day a little worse every time he talks to me. That is the kind of pettiness that I support.
Yeah.
So now we check in with Buck. And remember the whole big deal in the last chapter that Verna's like, I'm going to ruin your life? Well, they know about the documents being found with him, and he's like barely got in trouble. They don't even care.
That's the lazy bit I was talking about before. It's like... What do we want to do about the Buck document thing? No, it's just wave it away. It's not important.
Yeah. Basically, he gets scolded by Steve Plank, and then they move on pretty quickly.
Like, hey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I just took a boat with that guy. I was like, why are we on a boat?
What's happening? And then they kind of get into this conversation about objectivity and journalistic integrity, which I thought was very funny and good.
Yeah.
Can you read this little bit from Plank here?
Yeah. We all forgot about that years ago, Plank had said. Even before we were owned by Carpathia, we still had to dance to somebody's tune.
I was like, damn, he's right. That's so true, though.
Yeah, but it's like...
It literally is true, though.
It's weird that it's in this book.
Yes.
Because it's like... Right-wing people control the news.
Right. That's the thing. Everything they do, they're accusing someone of doing. But they're the ones that are doing it. Like,
because weren't you the one that literally said they bought, like, newspapers?
Yes, they did this. Like,
not single newspapers, guys. That's good. But, like, newspaper companies.
They bought, yes. And like, radio and TV stations. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, yes.
Do you think that, like... Tim LaHaye literally was writing this in his head and was like, I should do what the Antichrist does before he does it.
Maybe, like, if not, I almost feel like that makes way more sense, because otherwise the cognitive dissonance, like, how is he not seeing it and being like, maybe that's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at least if he's like, I gotta do this first.
Yeah.
Like, then it's like, because otherwise it's like, I am gonna take a page from the book of the Antichrist that I made up.
Yeah.
So... What the hell? Now we check back in with the rest of the Tribulation Force crew, and they're getting used to the power of technology and laptops.
Woo.
I wonder if anything was different in your book.
Nothing really jumped out of my end, but maybe yours said some weird shit.
I don't know. It was very funny. They talk about that Ben Judah is immediately like, I need to talk to my spiritual children via email now. But he's worried, like, I don't want to, like, give away my location, and then they're going to try – like, people are going to try to torture out of them.
Right, because, like, oh, I see here that you literally got an email that he sent to you from Ben Judah titled to you.
Right,
where
exactly.
Is he? I'm going to torture you.
Exactly.
So then instead they're like, bro, just become a poster.
He'd become a poster.
Get on them damn forums and post.
Message war time, baby. Yeah,
which I thought was really fun, and it seems like something that would be really good for him. You're stuck in a damn bunker. You gotta get on those message boards and posts.
Oh my god,
you gotta cook.
Yeah, he needs to, like, make multiple. The thing is, his message boards are gonna suck. They're gonna be so boring. It's just gonna be about the Bible and the rapture. Like, they're not gonna have any fun, like, sub groups in. But they should, though. Do you think that? Okay, in the rapture, in the tribulation, your Jesus focused message board. Can you have, like, off topic one in there?
Yeah, is there, like, a video game subreddit?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
hey guys, this is another place to blow off steam in between getting chased down by the global community thugs, right? Like,
because, like, probably, I feel like they would definitely have, like, a subsection for, like, gardening, because they're gonna have to do, like, subsistence gardening.
They probably would have.
So they probably
have,
like, a prepper subsection of the message board, most likely.
I like that. All right, here's how you kill and skin a deer. Here's how you kill a man.
I think they should also have a dating section of it, too.
Okay.
Like, let me find other Christians to date.
Okay. Yeah, I like
so
that.
It's going to be kind of like a Plenty of Fish situation, plus Reddit, plus, unfortunately, it does sound like it's kind of a 4chan situation as well.
Yeah. I think I would probably be like, who can give me a vasectomy? If, you know, because, like, I don't want to bring a kid in this scary world, but I want to get the fucking... Before I go to heaven, and then I just have to stay in a damn boring cloud the whole time.
I gotta get in now!
Gotta get in now. There's no sex in heaven. It's because it's gross and bad.
So, as Benjuda is reading through Bruce's notes, they start to make plans for Chloe and Amanda to be teachers and church planners, which I'm actually surprised about. Because the church I went to, women were not allowed to preach or teach.
Yeah.
They were women were only allowed to teach other women and children.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you went to a fucked up church.
Like, even for like evangelical standards, right. it's a little bit much.
Yeah.
Like I just think back again to the woman who, when I was in college and I was like a religion major and studying Hebrew and Greek, and I was talking about this with her, and she looked at me and said, "Well, you would make a great pastor's wife." So that's like the vibe that I grew in. So I'm pleasantly surprised that they're going to allow Chloe and Amanda to church build.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, Hattie calls Loretta's house. So, okay, so Hattie's not gone. And she says, like, "All right, listen. I'm going to be at the Milwaukee airport for a few hours at this time. If anyone wants to come talk to me, they can come get me."
Yeah.
Which is pretty boss of her, and I like that.
Yeah, it's like, if you even care,
I'll be at the Milwaukee airport. Now we get to Buck, and he is this part is so stupid.
Hell yeah.
He's very excited about the upcoming issue and cover story for Global Community Weekly, because this is one that Buck's been working on.
Yeah.
And as usual, he's like, okay, I'm going to take a neutral stance. But he assigned reporters to interview people, local and regional clergymen about the prophecies in Revelation.
Yeah.
And he specifically gets them to ask, "Will we suffer the wrath of the Lamb?"
Which is pretty sick, because his whole goal here is to get a million people to be like, "Yeah, that sounds like bullshit. You know, all these other things that have happened, yada, 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 it's just a coincidence, yada, yada, yada." There's any way to take that. And this is just like, okay, they're literally on tape saying, the Bible says there's going to be an earthquake.
Yes, yes.
In the tribulation that we are in, if they say no and then the earthquake happens, boom.
Yeah, right, got him.
Boom, got him. Checkmate atheist, literally.
I mean, in this instance, like, it makes you think twice.
Uh-huh.
It makes you think twice.
Uh-huh.
Unlike the earthquakes that happened here on this planet, those were just earthquakes. They, like, just happen sometimes.
They just happen sometimes.
And the same with the eclipse, it just happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if, like, everything has been actually correctly predicted, it might make you, you know, be like, huh.
Yeah.
There's something to this.
Absolutely.
Despite the skepticism and cynicism of most of the reporters, Tribulation Saint pastors and a few converted Jews were quoted that the wrath of the Lamb predicted in Revelation 6 was literal and imminent.
Hell yeah.
They always got to bring up the converted Jews. Yeah. Is their number one favorite thing to do.
Because there's only two factions, right? There's new Christians and converted Jews.
Yes, who are also Christians.
Who are also Christians.
They're just a subset.
I just call them Christians, but whatever.
Yeah. If it were me, I'd just call them Christians.
Yeah. But I guess legally, in this world, they are a different thing because they're literally the 144,000.
Right. They are a special subsection of Christians.
Yeah.
And another fun thing that gets pointed out in this section is that now under the, like, Global Community One Church, whatever the crazy name, I already forgot
Enigma Babylon One.
Enigma Babylon One.
Yeah.
No one is called, like, pastor or reverend or anything like that anymore. They're all called faith guides.
I fucking love that.
It's very funny.
That's such a good choice of, like, some woo-woo bullshit.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, new age stuff like that. That you guys nailed that.
That one's pretty that one's pretty spot on.
Yeah, yeah.
From the various documentaries I've seen about cults and things, like, yeah, that you got that one. So at some point prior to the story, Buck has talked to the Pope.
Right, cuz he needs to get the Pontifex Maximus take on it, obviously.
Yeah, the super
and
Pope.
That bitch likes to talk.
He loves talking and being like, "Look at all my sparkly rings. I'm going to drink some champagne on a plane."
Mm-hmm.
He says some stuff that I think is very interesting. Mm-hmm. It may be some story related to the old theory of an eternal man in the sky who created the world. Like, do you mean God? Like, what are you saying?
You
were the Pope.
Buck's even said, like, this. It's like, you were Catholic, like, a year ago. He's like, yes, 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 but once I stopped being Catholic, I opened my eyes, da-da-da-da-da-da.
There's like, did he really, like, are they, because I can't tell if they're like, oh, he never really believed this, or he's like so fully Enigma Babylon one-pilled now.
Well, he never believed it, because he's here.
Well, oh, but
he didn't get raptured.
Tim, Catholics wouldn't be
that
raptured.
That is true. Catholics don't get raptured anymore.
They wouldn't be raptured anyway in this world.
Pray less to Mary.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I truly am pretty sure that is what the authors of this book. I don't think they think Catholics.
Didn't the previous pope, didn't he get raptured?
The one pope, the new pope. He was a new pope.
New pope.
Wasn't he? I think he was a new young pope and he got raptured.
Yeah.
So he was about to pop off some change in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, they implied that he was like liberal, which means he finally believes what us good Baptists believe.
Yeah, like I guess liberal for Catholics? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I just thought it was a really weird, like, okay, now you're literally talking about God as like an old man in the sky.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Because, I mean, when you mesh all religions together, it's obviously going to be some weird soup. Right? Because this isn't Unitarian Universalism, right?
No.
It's like, I mean, they probably borrowed from that for this because they probably think that's stupid.
Right.
But, you know, this is like, everyone's God. There is no God. We are God. God is within us.
Yeah.
God is without us.
God is Allah. God is Jesus.
God is the Son.
God is Buddha.
Things like that.
Like, whatever. Yeah.
But, you know, the fucking, these nasty little Christians, they won't join up. So, Pontifex Maximus really leans into all that stuff.
Yeah, he does not like that at all. Buck brings up to him like, hey, but like, what about these churches over here that do believe in a literal
rapture? Yeah.
Oh my God. What Matthews is here, correct my shit up. But these are the same holdovers from your right-wing, fanatical, fundamentalist factions who have always taken the Bible literally.
Say it.
You know that Jeremy Jenkins and Tim LaHaye were like, this is what they say about
this
us.
This is how they treat us.
There's some pain behind these, right? Because you can tell they've been called this before.
Right-wing, fanatical, fundamentalists.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's what you are, bitch.
Yeah, that's what you are.
It is indeed what you are. But Matthews just continues to confirm that he doesn't really believe anything that he did before as a Catholic. Like, yeah, I've moved beyond that now.
Yeah.
I'm like all about this Enigma Babylon stuff
now. Right.
So get with the program. So they had this conversation before. Now we're back in the present and the big cover story is coming out. Tim, can you read this here?
Under the logo was a stylized illustration of a huge mountain range splitting from one end to the other. A red moon hung over the scene, and the copy read, "Will you suffer the wrath of the Lamb?"
So dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, how did they allow this to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it sells, right?
That's true. They're going full, like, tabloid now. They're going New York Post on everybody. Daily Mail.
Damn.
Somehow Buck has been able to include commentary from Ben Judah in this?
Insane.
Crazy. After you just gaslit Vernazzi so hard in the previous chapter.
Right.
And you have the balls to put comments from Ben Judah and then be like, well, he sent it through the internet.
Right. He sent it through the internet, so I just included it. What is that a big deal? Are you mad? Wait, you're mad?
But this is what Buck can get away with here. He can do anything. He's the golden boy. For now. Final bit of interesting information, I thought, in this article is that Buck had reached – well, he had deputized someone who reached out to geologists to ask about the whole earthquake prediction. And the geologists are like, it is not actually possible for the whole Earth to experience an earthquake at the same time because it's plate shifting. So it doesn't work like
that.
Like inherently.
Right.
So obviously he's building this case of this should not be able to happen.
This is what the Christians say is going to happen soon. Science says it's impossible based off tectonic plates, and we know where those are, and it's like so I couldn't tell if they're literally saying it's impossible because if one happens here, it can't happen here.
I think I that's the vibe that I got.
Yeah, because I mean, because the earthquakes happen with the tectonic plates mashing against each other. So inherently, if they're coming from east to west, then everything to their left and right has more room.
Exactly.
So
it's like it theoretically shouldn't be possible to do that.
Yeah, but like obviously it's very complicated and it's not quite like that. But like they're like, it can't happen. And even if it could happen, it's so unlikely to ever happen due to like, you know, how few earthquakes there are.
Yeah, and just like how the world works.
Yeah.
But we'll see about that.
The Lord's pretty big.
He is so big, and he is big enough to make the whole world shake at once.
Yeah, he's bigger than a damn boogeyman.
Over in New Babylon, Rayford is rendezvousing with Carpathia because now he wants to ride with to go pick up Pope. Whatever.
Pontifex Maximus.
I'm just going to call him the Super Pope because I can't remember all that shit.
That's what he is.
And here, Rayford makes, so I guess they get off like in New Babylon at like the headquarters or whatever. Uh-huh. And Rayford talks about Carpathia's Suite 216. and says, Rafer had never understood its address, as it was not on the second floor at all.
Yeah.
Like, this has got to be some prophecy bullshit that they're like, going to do something with.
Yeah, it sounds like some stupid bullshit.
I didn't look up what it was, but
I figured the book will tell us at some point, right?
Otherwise, that very strange choice to bring it up, other than being like, this guy's weird.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you threw it – it'd be really funny if it was, like, some petty thing, like the author, like, fuck that. My old address.
I assume – it's a prophecy thing that will be revealed as the book goes on.
For the book to tell us. Soon? Maybe? Who knows?
Hopefully soon. I hope by the end of this book, I open the next chapter. Now, back with Buck, phones have started ringing off the hooks in the Global Community Weekly office because of this Wrath of the Lamb story.
Right,
because
this is, it's obviously not pre-internet, but like, this is what you did. I guess people just call the fucking newspaper if they didn't like it.
I don't like this shit. Yeah, and it is pretty cool that the majority of people calling are like, this is yellow journalism. What is this garbage?
Yeah.
Like, this is like tabloid shit.
I did like some of the people that are like, why did no one tell me this? I'm skilled. What do I
do? They've always got to have a few of those. When it's like, everyone would just be like, freak, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Bernie gets back in touch with Buck again, just to double check. Like, you're not telling anyone I'm a lesbian, right? And she also is like, dude, just FYI, you're not being very subtle with this story. Like, it's pretty clear the point that you're trying to get across.
Yeah.
And Buck's like, oh no. I guess I better rein it in a little bit, maybe. Oopsies. But he also takes this opportunity to try to witness to Verna again. Oh, in this conversation too.
I'll say this. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse, but it was still not good. Let's do again. I'm Verna and you're Buck.
I'm Boy. I mean it, Verna. If you ever want to talk about this stuff, you can come to me.
With what your religion says about homosexuals? Are you kidding?
My Bible doesn't differentiate between homosexuals and heterosexuals. It may call practicing homosexuals sinners, but it also calls heterosexual sex outside of marriage sinful.
Semantics, Buck. Semantics. It literally is semantics, and they always think they're so smart for making this point. It's like, but in your religion, you also can't get married to that person. So you can't – And then it just makes me think of all the fucking, like, Exodus International, gay conversion shit.
Yeah.
That was so prominent in this time period.
Yeah.
And just FYI, that shit does not work. Like, pretty much everyone that ever, like, did the conversion shit was like, yeah, this does not work. I ended up being gay. I am gay. Like, even the dude who was, like, in charge of Exodus International, like, got caught, like, he got caught, like, at a bar. Like, pick up dudes at a bar and stuff.
I mean, it's just so
you can't consistent. Run away. You can't run away from yourself, bitch. You can't. It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
And I really do, man, I feel like the people who are, like, self-hating, closeted gay people, like, it poisons your brain in such a way.
Absolutely.
It's not good for you.
Yeah. But, you know, it was sort of funny that we don't really get Buck's opinion on it, right?
No, he doesn't say anything, like, particularly, I don't know.
Yeah.
He says stupid stuff.
But yeah, it's not like he has dialogue in his own brain where he's like, I'll pray that she'll stop being a damn lesbian.
That she'll stop being a fucking bush eater.
It does say that, but yeah.
Yeah, we cut that out. It was too much.
I don't know if it's at this part or, you know, around this part, but basically it's like, all right, I see what you're doing, Buck, and I'll think on what you say, whatever. And heck, I guess if this earthquake happens, I'll have a lot to think about. And Buck's like, I know. But if this earthquake is as bad as it sounds like it's going to be, you might need to become a Christian before that because you're going to get smushed by a rock.
You're going to be crushed by a rock.
Yeah, damn building's going to fall on you. And it made me really scared to think about it.
I would not like to be. I've never really experienced an earthquake like where I could actually feel it. And I'm okay with that.
I did once, but I was in the Federal Reserve Building of Boston.
Very tall.
And, like, I was in a conference room, and the blinds started rattling in a weird way. But, like, we were so high up, the building sways back and forth regardless.
Right, even in just the wind.
Yeah, when it's, like, really windy days, some people have to leave because they get really bad motion sickness, which happened to me one time. When you're pissing, you can, like, feel it, like, go back and
forth. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And one of the days, I think, when we had packs. I brought you guys in to, like, drop.
Yes,
and
you could absolutely feel it. No, it was freaky. So, and knowing that, like, buildings they're meant to do that, actually. Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, I was just in this corner-ass corner conference room with all glass walls.
Oh, my God.
And it started shaking, and like, that was weird. And then a couple minutes later, the, one of the managers walks. He's like, everyone cool? That was an earthquake. We're like, what?
excuse me? Because it's unusual to have earthquakes in the Northeast. That's yeah. the, and that's why the earthquake this past week was unusual. Okay. Like, they don't usually happen in the Northeast.
Gotcha.
And it was also because of the way that the plates were, people felt it for, like, much farther away gotcha. From where it is than they normally do in, like, California, where it happens more often. So let's go back over to Rayford now. He is flying Carpathia, Fortunato, and some new character named Dr. Klein to pick up the Super Pope in Rome.
Yeah.
And, guys, it's our favorite time. Time to eavesdrop.
Yay. Such a good thing for the plot of this book. I'm so glad they thought of it.
God, because this way we get to hear more of the evil guys talking to each yeah. other. So it automatically makes it, like, 10 times more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rayford thinks to himself, in the approximately 2 hours it took to fly from New Babylon to Rome, Rayford would get a lesson in New World Order international diplomacy.
Love it.
Again, let's remember that New World Order was actually coined by George Bush Sr. Isn't that weird? And it was meant to be a positive thing. But then immediately all the, like, conservative, yeah. like, the right-wing people yeah. were like, nope, we hate yeah, that shit.
It's pretty bad.
First thing that Rayford ever hears, they have made contact with Hattie.
Let's
go. All right. That's good. More importantly, Carpathia reveals that he knows all about Buck's connections to Ben Judah, and he knows that he's a big-time Christian.
Yeah, in the connection with, like, Ray and everything like
yes,
that.
Yes, he knows it all.
Because he doesn't know Buck's connection to Ben Judah, like, meaning he rescued him and has him, right? But he knows, but like, that it's weird that he has, like, any contact or brought up at all.
He knows there's some connection there.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's a little weird. Because, well, he interviewed him before, right? So, and then it's a little weird that
true.
His documents his stuff was up. With him.
Yeah. I guess it's not that weird that his stuff, like, might be, I don't know. It's pretty weird.
It's pretty weird. Like, the weekend, well, I guess his documents had to have been with him in the weekend he was with Israel.
But. Right, exactly. But I don't think that Carpathia knows that Bidget is in America.
Right. He doesn't really suspect Buck had anything to do
of
with
that, but he thinks there's a connection.
Yeah.
And he knows that Buck is married to Chloe, who is Rayford's
right.
daughter.
They're like, it's weird they don't talk about yeah, it, but it's whatever.
They've always been trying to not, like, really bring that up, but yeah. now, like, yeah. well, he knows.
I thought that was really fun to get that little background. But, yep, they've known the whole time. Or
yeah.
At some point, you know.
And Carpathia says, they may think they are in strategy proximity to me, and it does not say strategic. It literally says strategy proximity. I'm like, I would not have used this phrasing. They may think they are in strategy proximity to me, but I'm also able to learn much about the opposition through them.
Damn.
So he's doing they're doing an Ouroboros yeah. of spying
yeah.
on
yeah.
each other.
You get to hear from the Antichrist, who is me, but I get to learn about stupid Christians from you, which I thought it was, like, a really interesting way to, like, put it out so clear that he's like, yeah, I'm listening to these dumb Christians and I think they're bad.
But it is funny that Rayford's hearing this on yep. his secret eavesdropping system.
Thank you.
If your
so baby much.
Doesn't know about it. If he had, like, true, if he had his full Antichrist powers, I think he'd be able to tell.
Yeah.
This was happening.
Right. Because he's the devil.
He's a devil. So next, Carpathia brings up the kooks again, and Fortunato's like, yeah, actually hasn't rained in Israel since they started preaching. Also, they're having a lot of problems with the water turning to blood.
They keep fucking turning the water into blood. Jesus Christ.
And now, finally, the mysterious Dr. Klein chimes in.
Yeah.
To clarify that that it's mostly blood.
It has all the characteristics of human blood, although the type is difficult to determine. It borders on some cross between human and animal blood.
And once Carpathia hears this, he's like, I am done with these kooks.
These two guys at the damn wall. I hate their asses.
They are making me so mad. He says, if these two rascals do not immediately purify the water supply, we will see how they stand up to an atomic blast.
And they're all like, what?
Bro.
Do you mean that? It's like, I don't give a fuck about any of that shit.
Like, in the same breath, threatening to atomic bomb someone and also calling them rascals
right.
is one of the top funniest choices. Nicolae Carpathia, you will always be famous. I love you.
Yeah.
You're perfect to me.
And it just shows how bad of writers the writers of this book are.
These two rascals.
Why didn't he say motherfuckers?
Why didn't he say, like, beasts or something? Yeah. These two beasts. That would have been so cool.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he didn't, though. I'm glad he said rascals because it's very funny.
There should be more swearing in this.
No, that's illegal.
Oh, okay.
You can't do that in a Christian book. Would you like to read this next little? Actually, if you do, you would you rather be the Doctor or would you rather be Carpathia?
I always want to be Carpathia.
Well, let's do it. Be Carpathia.
As you know, the 10 ambassadors voted unanimously to fund abortions for women in underprivileged countries. I do not anticipate a problem from Matthews on this. However, should he express some opposition, are you prepared to discuss the long-term benefits?
Of course.
And where are we on the technology for predetermining the health and viability of a fetus?
Amniocentesis can now tell us everything we want to know. Its benefits are so far-reaching that it is worth any risk that procedure might afford.
Part of me was like, I don't want to say that word. So, you know. And Leon, are we at the point where we can announce sanctions requiring amniocentesis? Damn it.
Amniocentesis.
Amniocentesis on every pregnancy, along with an abortion requirement for any fetal tissue determined to result in a deformed or handicapped fetus?
Everything is in place, Fortunato said.
Cool.
Wow, mandatory amniocentesis and abortions.
Yikes.
This is what they think will happen if Democrats are in power.
Yeah.
When actually what we know will happen when Democrats are in power is that they'll let abortion rights be taken away.
Yeah.
So no worries. They're
Don't
not,
worry about it, brother.
Not only will they not be forcing abortions, they will not support anyone having them voluntarily either.
They won't do shit about it. Yeah, I think when I read this as a kid, right, in like a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, whatever, I was like, that doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah. And like yeah, if everyone has to, that's yeah. bad. But also the way they talk about amniocentesis is really funny because I feel like I remember this being like a flash like discourse point because I do think, guys, I don't fully know about this. Like I have never been pregnant. I've just been around people who were pregnant, but I think there was a thought that amniocentesis can be dangerous to the fetus, maybe, but I don't think it's actually super dangerous.
Okay.
But I think that the thought was, well, I think that the Christians were mad about it because it's like, well, the implication being that if you find out something's wrong with this fetus, you will abort them.
Yeah.
So they were just trying to like kind of demonize the whole thing. And also,
gotcha.
Like, and also it's like dangerous for the fetus.
I'm okay.
And I'm not saying there's no, like, I think there is like a small percentage of like risk to do an amniocentesis, but I think it's not as big as they made it out to be. And it was more because it was seen as a means to get information for whether you will keep a pregnancy or not. So I vaguely remember because my church had a connection with a crisis pregnancy center. So I like absorbed a lot of this like abortion talk growing up.
Gotcha.
And I feel like that came up.
Interesting.
So yeah, Carpathia is not worried about Matthews falling in line with this new abortion legislation, by the way, because he knows he's having money problems, which is a good way to get people under under your thrall, for sure.
He says he can't sell the surplus churches, which I thought was really funny and weird.
I agree. Like, you definitely can. Like, just let him, like, sell them to people to be, like, bars.
Yeah, exactly. This is a
and
weird
like,
church.
Like, our permanents. Like, that's already – this, like, literally happens all the time.
Yeah. Oh, and I think – the interesting thing, too, is, like, they're not coming up with – I think it's very clear they're pointing this out. They're not coming up with cures to bad things. They're just going to force abortions.
Just get rid of them.
Yeah, which is quite Nazi-coded.
Yes, very Nazi-coded, but also not – again, not based in any reality because the Democrats can't even keep, like, abortion as a thing that is accessible to anyone, much less force it on anyone.
Exactly.
And that's it. That is the chapter.
It just kind of ends.
Yep. Yep. It does just kind of end. So, but we are so close to the end of this book.
Yeah.
I am
Exciting.
So curious how they're going to, you know, tie this one off.
I mean, they're talking about the earthquake. If it's not the earthquake.
It's got to be the fucking.
I'm
going to
cry.
So mad if the earthquake
I'm
doesn't
gonna
happen.
Cry. If it just ends with, then the ground starting to rubble. I'll be mad, but I'll be like,
fuck you.
That was sexy.
And then we probably just like start the next one. Do you think Verna Z is gonna survive the earthquake?
No.
I think she's gonna die.
I think she's gonna die.
I think she's gonna die. And I think she, I don't think she's gonna get saved.
No, I don't think, well.
Or she's gonna get saved in like the last second. She's gonna be like actively being crushed by a rock and be like, I believe you, Jesus. Sorry, I was a lesbian.
I feel like, and I don't remember at all. I feel like she's gonna die and Buck's just not gonna know and he's gonna be angry. And he's gonna be like, I should have done more.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems likely as well.
I think Chloe's going to die too.
What?
She's not going to die.
No. I feel like she's got to get pregnant.
She does.
Oh my God. Can I also, a theory that I had?
Okay.
I had a theory that Hattie was going to have the baby and give it to Rayford and Amanda to raise. I actually don't think that makes a lot of sense, but I like thinking about it.
I don't remember what happens with Hattie. So
who knows? Oh, I'm so curious what's going to happen with that Antichrist baby. It's half Antichrist.
It has to come out all weird. I know it.
It's going to have a little tail.
Mm-hmm.
little nub and horns.
Thank you so much for listening to these gripping chapters.
Yes.
Cannot wait to get into the next ones. And you know, we're close to the end. We got to get that finale, baby.
Please.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Lanning. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer Cheek. You can follow the pod at Trib Farce Pod. And you can email us at tribulationfarce@gmail.com. Always love getting your little comments and side stories and isn't this interesting? It's always really fun and it makes the day better.
I agree.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about, Jennifer?
I don't think so for now. I'm just ready. I'm ready for this damn earthquake.
Don't say that.
That's right. Yeah. So, sorry, St. Louis, I am not ready for the big one yet. Please don't do an earthquake.
They say like we're due.
We're going to get one. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't want that to happen.
Surprisingly close to a fault line. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, that's very scary. Yeah. Like, not only, like you're telling me, not only are there tornadoes here, but I can also have an earthquake. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, and it's a million degrees in the summer.
I guess the only thing we don't have to worry about now are hurricanes here.
That's true.
That can't happen.
I mean, the wind the other couple days was so fucking bad.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. The storms are so crazy here.
We love St. Louis, though.
But the weather is more scary.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Florida, so.
Yeah, that's true. But you didn't have tornadoes. Tornadoes are different.
Fuck tornadoes.
Wow.
Hurricane is like a 100-mile-wide goddamn tornado. Fuck tornadoes.
It's like, well, it's just that, like, when a tornado does come, it's like, well, your whole house is fully ripped up and destroyed down.
Yeah. It's like either like a giant vacuum versus like the finger of God pointing down, right?
Isn't it crazy that, like, tornadoes don't, like, happen in, like, I don't think tornadoes happen in other parts of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not, I think there's a lot of, well, maybe, let me rephrase. I think that there's a lot of parts of the world where tornadoes don't happen.
That's fucked up.
And it's crazy.
That's crazy.
I'm like, what? You guys don't have that?
Yeah. I mean, I remember learning the word typhoon was just a hurricane, you know, basically.
Oh, I don't think I know that.
I might be confusing with something else, but
isn't a typhoon, like, started by an earthquake, like seismic something?
Yeah, I think of a tsunami. What am I?
Oh, maybe that's what, I don't know. Yeah, I think I think I'm thinking of a
typhoon
tsunami.
Typhoon Lagoon. Maybe I'm thinking of a tsunami. They both feel very water related, but like that makes sense if you're in Japan and other islands, because like the hurricane's gonna throw a fuck ton of water on you. But also hurricanes spawn tornadoes too. So and water
spouts.
That's
water spouts are very sick and scary and cool.
Yeah. So
at least they're over the water.
We did have those in Florida. So.
No, that's all right. Fair enough.
Yeah,
Florida. I mean, listen, you're not gonna get me to say that Florida is not a scary place.
Yeah, Florida has hurricane season and tornado season. We just don't get them that much. From what I remember. But here it's like scary, but.
Yeah. Yeah,
with all that being said, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.